listening to the 2 Month Podcast presented by BioSteel.
Welcome back to the 2 Month Podcast presented by BioSteel. Use promo code MUTS25 at checkout to get 25% off your order. We like to welcome back to the 2 Months Podcast. We got Brody McIntyre. Brodes, how's it going?
Going pretty well today, Bosco. Solid weekend. Beautiful weather outside. Santa's around the corner. So Christmas tree went up today. I'm in a good mood, pal.
Nice. Yeah, I saw that in the internal group chat. So it's all good. Right. And speaking of the internal group chat, finally made it work. Thanks to Jake Condor and a few others. But Jake Baker is now back with us. I know a lot of people have been asking and wondering where he is, but he is back in the mix. And Bakes, how's it going?
Good. Actually, I had to switch over to my because a lot of the stuff you set up was on my work phone.
Yes.
And when I'm home, I like to ignore that as much as possible.
Which is a good thing, yeah.
I switched over to my personal. I actually switched different to carrier, so I get better signal here in Kitimat. But yeah, things are good. You know, like everybody said, getting ready for Christmas. But, you know, it's funny enough, I'm working on my golf game. That's what I'm doing. Out here in Kitimat, we got the camp. We got simulators here. I got a simulator put in the house there over the fall and just working on the golf game. Hopefully that, some of the fruit bears fruit, but who knows? Maybe it's just work for nothing. But yeah, Trying to get the game back to where it should be and hopefully have a decent summer and spring and play some good golf. But it's just, you know, at work. You know, working up in Kitimat, you know, 14-7 year, lots of rain, lots of stuff going on. But, you know, it's nice to be back on the podcast. Nice to talk to the boys and see what's going on in hockey.
Yeah, no, exactly. So do you go home on Monday, Bakes?
Yeah, Monday. Hopefully actually get out for maybe a day and a half of deer hunting. That should be good.
Nice.
Get out in the bush. And who knows? I call myself a deer tourist.
Yeah.
I buy tags and I watch the deer walk away. Exactly. You want to know how to keep animals safe? Just give me a tag and then they'll be safe.
They'll be good. Eh?
Yeah. Pretty much.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
No, things good over here. We just recorded a really, really good interview with a really good player on the Calgary Flames, number 11, Michael Backlund. So look for that to drop in the next few days. So, I think a lot of people will like what the nice little story he shares on Sean Monahan. So I'll tease that and people can wait and hear that. But I think that'll be that might be one of the great stories that comes out of this podcast, as many as Bax does a lot of charitable work too in Calgary. So it was really good to connect with him and talk about that, talk about the game and where he came from and Boreas Salming. So it was really nice to connect there. But big win for the Oilers last night. We'll transition to our Oilers and Flames report. Our Oilers report brought to you by Shatified Salon and Barbershop here in Edmonton, Alberta. Bakes, I don't know how much of the game you saw last night. I know you were kind of golfing with Pedro there, but what were your thoughts on the big win over the Vegas Golden Knights last night?
Yeah, I tried to catch as much as I could between it's a quick round of golf on the virtual simulator, but obviously the big talk is McDavid doing McDavid things again, you know, impressive goal in tight, being able to roof it like that. Just didn't even look like he was looking there. It's just another McDavid highlight. Amazing. So I think anybody in the hockey world should appreciate being able to see that skill level. Obviously any Oilers fans, we love it. Another big night for Skinner. I think he, you know, every day is looking more and more like the number one. I think I listened to a few episodes ago, Rev was predicting. I think we had this conversation too. Like
he had it around last the same year, time.
Yeah. I said, I think he's going to surprise some people. And who was it said he kind of always plays up to the league or plays up to, he's proved himself through and through. You know, he always seems to step up no matter what league he's in, AHL, you know, the Condors. He just showed that, you know, he has that pedigree to be a number one goalie. And I wouldn't say, like, nowadays, I think you guys were talking about the other day, like, who's really, you know, you got four or five top goalies and really who's behind that? You know, it's kind of surprising every year somebody comes out of nowhere and, you know, you can't really predict it nowadays with goalies. Like, your backup, if he's making it 22, 23, 24-year-old, they're all talented. They made it there, right?
Yeah.
But, again, impressing. Every time he plays, very impressive. You know, it looks like Draisaitl's trying to looks like he's finding his rhythm and the rest of the guys playing around him. Big, obviously I haven't been on, big loss with Kane, but you know, I think they just got to change up the game and find a way to do it. You know, find, you're not going to have that guy in front burying pucks and has that, you know, that touch in front of the net. But I think if they find a way, it was an impressive win against a very good team, you know, and it looked like, you know, really good back and forth. It you know, it wasn't like anybody ran away with it, but it was at times kind of what I expect of the Oilers. They controlled the play. They showed, you know, low scoring game. They could kind of control the play, keep it, you know, keep it down low in their zone and control the puck and just tire the other team out. That's kind of,
yeah,
not playoff hockey, but late season hockey that, or I guess early season, no teams are doing that, but there was a bit of times where you're like, you know, they look confused out there. You know, I think every team in early season looks that way. Toronto's kind of went through it. Calgary's went through it, but you know, it looks like they're at times finding the stride. Hopefully they can keep it going.
Yeah, no, it's it was a big win. Obviously going into a big road trip that they got going on here. Broads, how much of the game you saw last night and your takeaways?
I didn't see much other than the highlights. You know what? I was helping out a U15 team here in town, so I was on the bench with them. I literally came home, turned on the TV, and the overtime started. So I got to watch McDavid do McDavid things and watched a minute and 30 seconds or however long it is on the ice. So I turned on the best part. But from the highlights, it seemed like you know, the team played well. It wasn't a high-scoring game, which means they were learning to check. And again, against a really good team, that's going to be a good sign, I think, moving forward, that they're able to kind of shut it down and not give up 3 or 4 or 5 goals, right?
Yeah.
Against a really, really good opponent. So that's a really good sign. And who doesn't like watching McDavid do that? It's unbelievable.
Yeah. No,
it's unbelievable.
He even said it after the game. He was fighting it. He dropped a stick a couple times, his mouth guard a couple times. The first 40 minutes wasn't the best for him, but
he always has games like that. It happens
to the best of them and whatnot. But Broads, I want to talk about McDavid's game a bit away from the puck. And I know, you know, in our eternal group chat, you always kind of like to, you know, break it down a bit. You bring out the telestrator and all that, Broads, and you break things down. So, but I'm seeing a big change in his game. Obviously now he's a part of the penalty kill, which he wasn't before. And their penalty kill has gotten better because they're a little bit more aggressive. But what are you seeing of his game that is improving in the defensive zone on your end, Broads?
The biggest thing I'm seeing is he's not always the very last man back into the zone, which takes zero talent, right? You just have to work hard and back check. Before last year, he was always the fifth guy back, ended up playing wing because they just kind of, you know, it's first man to the puck does this, second does this, fifth man in ends up usually in the high slot area. So he is getting back a little bit better. I still don't think he's great at it, to be honest. He's good at it, but he's not. He can be a lot better. I think with that kind of speed, he should be catching guys and just lifting sticks and taking pucks the other way 3, 4, 5 times a game back checking. But it's still pretty rare you see that because he's a little late in the play.
Yeah. One of the things I've saw is he's getting down low to break up the cycle too, helping out the defenseman, I think, which is good. And then it's giving that breakout, you know, because it doesn't take much to get a pass to the boards and then boom, you get him on the in the middle or on the flank or whatever, and then he's gone. Safe to say that Bakes on that where you're seeing
from what
you
yeah, see? I think it was you guys that talked about the other night, talking about guys are just flying high in the zone. You know, maybe they're trying to get he's not playing now, but get your points up for Patrick Kane for your prediction for the year there. Yeah. But I think he's leading by example a little bit, right? Getting a little bit lower. I think, like you said, Brody, a little bit of that sneaky steals isn't quite there, but I don't think how many nights has he really played the PK so far this year? What, 2-3 games now? So
yep.
He's working on it, but at the end of the day, you know, he's that type of player that I think they're all looking over their shoulder, wondering where he is, even on the PK. I think the only risk is putting a player like that out on a penalty kill and potentially taking a puck or, you know, that extra ice time wearing him out. Like, I think it's a good play. I think Gretzky played a lot of PK, right? It seemed to work for them, and there's a lot of star players that do. But I think he's going to watch it. But, you know, hopefully they're not playing him to get shorthanded points. Hopefully they're playing him for the right reason. And from what I could see last night, you know, he made a lot of good moves down low or on the perimeter, on the boards. You know, I don't think he's the guy who's going to necessarily blow you off your skates with a check or anything like that. But he's just that sneaky player that he's got them looking over their shoulders where he is, right? And he's fast enough to close the gap and make the difference on that PK. And really, I think at the end of the day, it's just you're playing with a guy like McDavid. Players are going to follow him. Look how many players, I mean, you guys might watch it, but I didn't realize how many people could stick handle like that on the Oilers. Yeah. And I don't know if they would if they weren't playing with McDavid, right? It's kind of that effect of, you know, playing with elite talent. And if he's leading by example and getting in there in PK, it's only going to help us.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Bros, turn to you for here for Ryan McLeod. Started the year 3 goals in his first 6 games. He had 3 goals on 13 shots. His shooting percentage was really good, but 0 goals in his last 12. One of the nice things I thought about him in the playoffs is that he was in on the checks. He was hitting, and it looks like he's doing a little bit more flybys right now. But your thoughts on Ryan McLeod's game, Broads, and the importance that you would need to get some offense out of your third line center. Obviously, 0 goals in 12 games is not going to help that out, but your thoughts.
I'm not too worried about it, to be honest. I think he's doing a lot of the right things away from the puck. It's pretty rare he's making a glaring mistake. He's made a couple. Obviously, people make mistakes, but he's developing, I think, away from the puck. I think the offense will eventually come. I don't think he's ever going to be a 20-30 goal scorer, but
yeah.
I saw him finishing a couple checks. He smoked somebody pretty good there. I can't remember who it was on the wall as they both went for the puck. That was always Strudwick's thing with him. I wish he finished a few more checks, a few too many flybys. I think he can keep adding to that to his game, and I think the goals and the points will end up coming. I think he's made a conscious effort to play really well away from the puck, and I've noticed a really good job on his end for sure.
Yeah, his two-way game is pretty good. It's just, you want to try to get that support from the offensive side. But, Bakes, your thoughts. Are you any concern on your level here on this one?
No, I'm with Brody on that one. I don't see concern. He's the type of player, kind of emulates, he needs to emulate some players that can understand the role where he's in that 3C and get better at the faceoffs. But I mean, he's the type of player I seen it last year too. I wasn't surprised that he had a good playoff. He's just one of those guys that when the game kind of matters more, he puts in that. And it's not to say he doesn't put in a good effort every night. I think I just see him as one of those players that gets that energy from that type of game, right? He's just like amazing skating ability, amazing on the puck. And like you said, he's young, he's going to make mistakes, but I've been nothing but impressed with this game. And you're not looking for the guy to come out and, put up 60 points on this sophomore year now, or is no third year.
This is his second, I think, right?
Yeah. So
yeah.
Really young.
Yeah.
Everybody talks about sophomore slump with any player. I mean, it's not like, I think there's a little bit of growth that he's kind of going through, figuring out his game. He's getting, trying to figure out his role. It's not, and it's a little bit different, probably not fighting for that job now. So he's trying to, probably develop some different parts of his game, but I think he's been impressive. I always like him when he's on the ice, to be honest. Like he's just one of those salt and pepper or whatever, sandpaper type guys. I always thought he'd be like a lot like
salt Smith, and pepper,
right? Sandpaper, salt and pepper.
Sandpaper.
Salt to my pepper to myself.
Exactly. Well, yeah. You look in Detroit, right? And Mort Sider obviously won the Calder last year, and he hasn't had the greatest start, but he had a really good night last night, looking like the player that he was last year, but it's been a bit of a tough go for him. We'll stick with the defenseman theme, obviously moving away from McLeod, Broads. I think it's nice. This probably says a lot about Dave Manson as a coach. Evan Bouchard is struggling, but Dave Manson is letting him get through it. He's not pulling back his minutes. He's letting him play through it. How important is that on a coach and a player, Broads?
I think it's touch and go, to be honest. I think that it's important that he's still playing, but he's making more and more mistakes and he's still getting thrown out there. So I think it's kind of a delicate balance, right? If you cut the minutes, it's going to hurt his, it's going to hurt him a little bit. Might be a little, I'm down in the dumps. Yeah, he's probably still down in dumps because he had 3 or 4 turnovers yesterday, right? And bad ones from the highlights I saw.
Yeah.
And a bad penalty.
That's right. There you go. And he still needs, I don't want to call him soft. He needs to be able to play a little bit meaner. He needs to be a heck of a lot more urgent and mean everywhere he goes. Getting back to pucks, finishing checks. I hope he can add that to his game.
The sense of urgency with his game is not there right now. And would you say he really misses Duncan Keith right now as his partner?
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. You have that veteran presence, somebody that's going to, you know, he at that point, he's able to play his game. It opens up a little bit of space for him. He can kind of, you know, not to say it, but roam a little bit more free because you got someone who's so positionally sound behind him, right? And
yeah.
I think this year, too, Barry's played a lot better.
And so he's penalty kill, too, Barry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that opens up a little bit of maybe reprieve for Bouchard because, you know, Barry's playing better. So they're maybe not leaning on him as much, but still giving him the ice time. I don't think he's getting the hard minutes, but at the same time, I don't know. It's that's a tough one where it's like, do you keep playing him? I think in the chat, we've talked about it a lot. It's like, I think Oilers fans for what, 4 years now, have been saying like, where's that D? Where's the big stud D? Where's the shutdown D? We don't need, not to say like even new age defensemen, they're all really good puck movers. Not power play specialists, but somebody who can make an outlet pass and just, where's that person? It's not looking like it's Nurse at this point, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Hard to find.
Yeah. It's the dynamic of the team with that type of player changes, but does Bouchard slot into that? I think they're looking for somebody who's exactly, he's never going to slot into that position where he's going to just blow someone off their skates and just make a big hit and change the game. When we're talking like tight games, playoff games, that's not the player he is, but is he offensively good? Yeah. Is if he clean up some of the mistakes and continues to, you know, well balance his game for sure. Like you said, a few more checks, finish checks, right? That's something you see all the time. They just fly by it and maybe they're worried about position. Maybe don't have the confidence that they would normally have right now, build up the confidence a little bit, but yeah, I can certainly tell you he can find the net. It's amazing how he finds the net on a, you know, kind of skate backwards and just finds spots. So there's value there, a lot of value, but I don't know, maybe he stays low until his ELC is over. Or
yeah.
Entry levels. Does over.
Look, it's looking good for his contract. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, that's right, what I'm saying. Like, go ahead.
Compared to last year. Yeah.
Play like shit and then we'll sign you low and hopefully there's some value there. But I mean, I don't know that who Edmonton has on their team that's going to help him develop that way. Obviously, there's coaches and things, but who, we talked about that before. Who's his mentor? I mean, he had Duncan Keith and he played better, but is that somebody the Oilers are looking for? Or, you know, somebody who's a veteran presence that can help their young? You look at Broberg and these guys coming up. Who's that person for us right now?
Yeah, right now there isn't, because with Broberg out of the lineup in Bakersfield, the Oilers don't have any left shot defenseman on an NHL contract. So, but he's the only one there. But if you say he's out of that lineup, he took a big hit over the week here with against the Calgary
Rams. I think that's what they should be looking for. You know, somebody who can heavy hitter, heavy down low, and can mentor these young you know, players, young defensemen.
I still think they need two of them. My opinion,
yeah.
Still
yeah.
Two defensemen like that.
I think they should try to go after Joel Edmondson in Montreal. That's a good left shot defenseman, Stanley Cup, big, strong.
What's Kulak? Left or right shot?
He's a lefty. So that's who's playing with Bouchard right now. But they interchange.
I like Kulak, but he tries to do too much sometimes.
Yeah, and I think Brody's kind of said it right there too. Is maybe he's a little bit overcast in the minutes he's getting because of where he was last year. And he was more, I think he was more noticeable and more in a positive way because he was slotted in the right spot last year. And I don't know how much not being slotted in the right spot now hurts him. We'll transition over to the goaltenders and then we'll move on to the Calgary Flames report. You know, Skinner's, you know, started, he's probably going to start, you know, Monday night against the red hot New Jersey Devils, the 12 in a row. So, obviously both goaltenders would probably love to have the opportunity to knock that streak down and end it, but Would you, Broads, would you go with Skinner Monday and then maybe go with Campbell on Wednesday against the Islanders, and then maybe see if Campbell does good against the Islanders, go back to Campbell again on Saturday against the Rangers? What are you looking at on this three-game New York road trip?
I am going with Skinner. He's the hot hand. You're in the business of wins. He's your guy. You go with him until he's not hot, or until you know Campbell can get his shit together and has figured out whatever he needs to figure out, which he will. So with Skinner, man, he's going.
With no back-to-backs here, would you go Skinner the whole road trip? Because you got 2 days off, right? You got Thursday.
I would go Skinner. If he plays well and they get a win, you got to ride their hot hand. You got to get wins. It's all about wins. It's not about getting.
They got to get on a run.
It's not about this. You got to win.
Yeah, I think we got to agree. They got to get on a run here. This win-win, lose-one. They got to get on a run here. Yeah, sorry. Go ahead, Broads. I interrupted you there. But
that's okay, pal. No worries. And he looks good, right? He looks solid. He looks like so calm in there. He doesn't look upset or worried or nervous or anything. He just stops pucks, drinks his water bottle, stops more pucks, rubs his mustache, and that's the end of the game.
Yeah. And he looks very confident and very poised.
Absolutely.
Right? He looks like he's been doing this for 10 years.
What would you do, Bosco?
You know what? I would probably go Skinner too. It's tough. Like, I think at the end of the day, I know you have the contract there and all that. And I know, you know, but the thing is, it's unfortunate because we saw a really strong game from Jack Campbell against Tampa Bay and they won. And then he followed that up where the egg was laid against the Carolina Hurricanes. Yeah. And I don't know. So the situation is, do you go give him a shot again? Like, I guarantee you got to go with Skinner against the Devils. That gives you the best chance of winning that night. See how that game goes. You know, they're obviously hot. They're not going to win every single game for the rest of the year, the Devils. So you might catch them at a time where this might be the right time to catch them. The Oilers do have a better road record than they do have a better home record. So the possibility of winning this game and knocking that streak down is very strong. I predict that they'll do it. I think the Oilers will win this game, but you know, but I think you got to go with him, and then maybe I think the lesser matchup out of the three is probably the Islanders. The offense isn't as much deep there as it is with the other teams, but then I would go back to Skinner against the Rangers on Saturday because he's shown that I think he's the number one right now. I would kind of go in a system where every three games you play Campbell, where you kind of see a little bit slower progression, even if it's back-to-backs. You know, I go Skinner three games in a row in that fourth game, throw Campbell in. Let Campbell have a couple starts where you're slowly building it. And then if he has three good consecutive starts in a row out of that stretch, then go ahead with it. But at the end of the day, I just see, and, you know, and last year and, you know, at work with, when I was working with Jake, you know, he had talked about Skinner a lot in the progression that this could be it. And I think it was that one game, Bakes, you were talking about, where he came up, he had the shutout, and then he got sent down the next day.
Yeah. The game before, he lost with like 46 saves too something.
Yeah.
Or a couple games before. And it was like, well, not exactly getting the support there either. But no.
Where would you do Bakes on this for this road trip?
Yeah, I tend to agree with both of you. I mean, you got to go with the hot hand. I mean, that's you'd be crazy not to. I mean, there's not too many coaches out there that wouldn't do that, obviously. But it's a perplexing situation. I seen a few things on Campbell. They were talking about, I don't know if you guys seen that. Guys talking about his equipment and the fit up of his equipment. They were talking about.
Yeah, that was Mike McKenna, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, they're talking about, like, the fact that, you know, he had the hole in his glove, like, you should be checking your own equipment. Nah, there's the equipment manager. There's the player issue there. But even they were talking about the fact that he still uses leather straps and there's a hole there. And you can bet the anybody who's, you know, if they're doing the research on him, that's where they're shooting. As he goes down in the butterfly, there's a little bit of a, you know, V there underneath his pads, cause he doesn't use the newer nylon style. It doesn't lay flat. And it's just, I think he's, and it was McKenna that said that, like, he's still got to learn his equipment. He's getting new gear. He's kind of trying to figure things out. You guys talked about is moving your family, getting used to things. And I think he's got, you know, 100%. I think he's got the team support. So that's great. Yeah. It's good that Skinner's playing good right now. But the weird thing about it is, like, look at their records right now.
Yeah.
Skinner's 4-4 and Campbell's 6-4. Like,
Yeah.
What's going on? And he's got a 912 save percentage. I think a couple of games like 960, yeah. Whatever. And like, I don't think, sure. Now there's a couple of games he's won. Great. But it's just a little bit surprising that as much as we're talking about Skinner and how good, the team hasn't, you know, I can't say, I think the team hasn't played well in front of Campbell when he loses. So it makes it look a lot worse.
Yes.
I think the games he's won, if the team has had to come out and really blow the doors off of it. So that, again, makes it look worse. And Skinner just puts up, we just said it, as a calm performance, just looks relaxed in there. Just, he looks poised. Even in a scrum where it's, you wouldn't think you'd even see the puck, he's managing to find it, get centered on the puck and make easy saves. So you got to go with it, 100%.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we'll see what happens here as the week unfolds.
I want Campbell to definitely step up.
I think everyone
does. He will at some point, right? He's going to
get not just because of the contract. I think he's legit a real good goalie. And,
oh, yeah.
You know,
I think he's got to be stopped being hard on himself, too. I think it's a little, like, it's, you know, it's understandable in a way, but you got there for a reason. He's in the NHL.
Absolutely.
You got the contract. It ain't going anywhere, really, at the end of the day. And, you know, you got to be that guy, and he's got a good goalie coach to work with and a good organization to kind of.
And I think it's best to say it to everybody in Edmonton, just relax a little bit. Exactly. And that's what it comes down to. Let's not run this guy out of town after 10 games.
No,
that's what it comes down to. Everybody relax. Oh, I think it's like 3-game loss. And I see somebody, you know, taking their jersey off, ready to pitch it. Like, take it easy, everybody. And that's like, I love Edmonton. I love the going to games, and just, I think some people get a little hot sometimes, and that's the Canadian market, but give the guy some time to breathe, and I think he'll impress everybody as well.
Yeah, exactly. We'll move to a Calgary Flames report, sponsored by Martelieu Barbershop in Calgary. Nick and the team there doing an amazing job. You know, big win, you know, against the Florida Panthers. That was, you know, kind of slowly get them back on the streak here, because they won two and then they lost one. And there was a tough one against Boston that they lost too. But, you know, it's a big road trip for them, a big 6-game trip, probably the biggest road trip that they got throughout the year here. Big one against Philadelphia coming up. You know, thoughts on the team's play so far, you know, Bakes, from what you have saw, like, obviously, you know, Huberto did miss some games, but the last 3 games he's been in, he's been effective with the Michael Backlund line. You know, how important it is to get him going up and running, just like it would be for Campbell too, right?
Yeah, and I think you guys touched on it a few times, and I think everybody predicted there was some growing pain. I think on paper, we talked about this, as it was an obvious win for the Calgary Flames. I you know, I love where their team's at as the makeup on paper, but it takes time. It takes time to get that team rolling together. It takes time to, I was just looking up, like, Kadri's a -8 right now. That's a bit shocking. Bit shocking because, yeah, he puts up points, but certainly from what I've seen in Colorado, he was a, you know, all around decent player, and doesn't, I'm not saying he's the best two-way guy, but, you know, tend to control the puck and your plus minus goes down. But, you know, with Huberto, I think that's what it is. Just getting used to the coaching system, getting used to the, you know, the atmosphere of the team. I don't know. I can't speak for how it is in Florida, but I can only predict, you know, there's a lot more media, a lot more attention, possibly, you know, a lot more stress on a player playing in Calgary. And maybe he doesn't go on the social media, he doesn't pay attention to that stuff, but you're still going to hear it, right? You can feel the vibes, as they say, but, you know, get him rolling, and it's just a matter of clicking. I think we always, you know, they came out decent, and then they had that stretch where they were losing, and I think, I you know, again, I don't necessarily have a ton of, there's a few people in the family that are Calgary fans, and even talking to them, I didn't feel like there was panic, even with what was going on, and it was kind of expected. You know, if it's 4 games, 2 wins and lose 4 games, okay, that's still eight losses or 9 losses, whatever.
Yeah.
You win 2 in the middle, it feels better. It's still, they can go on a 5-game win streak all of a sudden and then all is forgotten. But definitely exactly. I think they will. The makeup of the team says, you know, on paper, everything looks good. And I think their defense have done amazing. We just talked about the interview with Backlund, like having that guy in your third line center. I mean, you know, veteran guy, team guy, I mean, those are the difference makers. You've seen he was out late, late in the game. The coach has his trust. Obviously, he's trusted by the coach. He was out late in the game taking faceoffs, playing in the 3-on-3, even had a shootout, a chance at a shootout goal. But and he nicked the post. I thought that was going in. Like, oh, my God, it's going in. Josh, you're going to have to ask him about how that felt. But just missed it. I thought it was going in. But, you know, it's kind of to be expected, the growing pains. Maybe it was a little bit worse than they expected for a 10-game stretch there. But honestly, for the Oilers, Calgary fans, this is pretty good. It's a good thing to – unfortunately, the league doesn't know how to set up a schedule and give us our four games.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think at the end of the day, I think you guys were talking about it. It's I don't think they want them in the first round. Let's make it a little bit, you know, more important game. Maybe a little later in the playoffs, but it'd be sure nice to see them both playing again. And I think it'll be some good hockey.
Yeah, for sure. Broads, how cool and great will it be Huberto and Uyghur got their ceremonies. They were able to get recognized. They got the video tribute. It was emotional for them to kind of go back to that. There was probably some shock still with both of them, especially when you look at Huberto, the year he had. You know, when you look around, all these guys are signing big contracts after years like that, and you didn't get one in Florida, and you kind of got shipped out, and it was gone. And then, you know, Uyghur's a part of it. But now that chapter's pretty much closed, you won that game. Obviously, you're going to play them again coming up here in Calgary. But how important is to kind of just, now it's over with, we're done. It's probably more important to play that game in Florida and now just kind of kickstart the season and get going here. Do you think that'll kind of boost both those players going forward here?
Well, I think as soon as they got traded, the first thing they would have done is looked at the schedule, see when the game is. So I think the first, however many games they played, 15 games, say, that's all they've looked at is, 10 more days, 5 more days, 3 more days till this game's happening. I think it'll be hugely beneficial now that the game's over with. They played their game. They both played well. And they get back to just the grind of driving their F-150 truck instead of a Lamborghini.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Get after it.
Yeah, get
in 4x4, right?
Exactly. Yeah. You got that right. So, so with that, not too much to add there. We'll see what kind of goes on with the Flames here. They've been up and down a little bit here, but we got 3 wins at our last 4. So maybe that's where they're trending in that direction, a big road trip. Markstrom, he needs to play a little bit better, I think. And he knows that. No one needs to tell you that here. He's been able to say that himself in the media. It's always funny. He always kind of texts them after a game, good game. And it's like, they know they played a good game, but they also they played a bad game too. Right. So it's always funny when you text them after the games, and I'm not saying that they reply back saying that, they're very nice when they reply back, but in your head, you're thinking, yeah, they know whether they play a good game or a bad game or a mediocre game. Or
he is an elite goalie, though. You see some of the saves he's made this year. It's just talent, the talent that he has. And it's just, you can never count him out. And that's one of those things where you're going to meet him in an important game or in the playoffs. It's that type of goalie that could just take the game over, right?
It is, for sure.
He's good.
All right. So, with that, we'll finish up the podcast there. Look forward to some interviews that we got coming out this week. And then our Michael Backlund interview will be coming out early in the week. So enjoy that. Hope everyone does. And we'll be back later in the week with some more episodes with the fellas. I know a lot of people have given us some good feedback with the podcast with us as a team. So we'll be mingling in one of those a week. And I know Broge is a big fan of those. He loves them a lot.
Big fan.
Yes.
My favorite, buddy.
Yes. Yes, they are. So, and it's no disrespect to the guests, but Broge chimes in like he loves it that way a lot. And that bakes back into the mix.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Yeah, no. So, have a good week, guys, and safe travels back home, Bakes, and Broads. Have an amazing week with the fam, and tell the boys we say hi, and take care, fellas.
Hey, guys.
This public service announcement is brought to you by our friends at CDN. Here's a crazy thought. Not all team wear needs a team logo. Stand out in the crowd and rep your team colors with one of CDN's hockey hats. Listen. These hats are phenomenal. We just got ours a little while ago, and we've been wearing them nonstop. You know when you find a hat you love and you just can't take it off? Yep, that's how we feel with our CDN hat. Every time we wear it out, we get asked, "Where did you get that hat?" I know what you're thinking. How can I get one? Cue the details. Shop online 24/7 at www.wearecdn.ca and use the promo code 2MUTS for 15% off your order. Again, that's www.wearecdn.ca to get your new favorite hat and use the discount code 2MUTS at checkout for 15% off your order. Now back to the show. Coach Rupper here from 2MUTS. Thanks for tuning into the podcast. Now let's grab a knee. Have I got a deal for you? We have teamed up with Manscaped and we can save you some big time coin this upcoming NHL season. Guys, are your sticks and pucks getting hairy in the corners? And gals, is your goalie still using horsehair Coopers? Well, let's wake up! Use the code 2MUTS to save 20% plus free shipping on Manscaped products. Listen, we all love to score and we all want to win the cup. Why not do it on a fresh, clean, smooth sheet of ice? That way we all win. Manscaped is the only way to go. Again, the code is 2MUTS to save 20% plus free shipping on Manscaped products. Now let's bring it in. Manscaped on three. One, two, three. The 2MUTS podcast is brought to you by Free Bars, and Free Bars are arguably the best tasting energy bar. You might have heard Free Bars on the podcast before, and maybe you've tried them at Edmonton's most popular farmers markets. Free Bars focus on three main things for their bars. One, Free Bars are free of priority allergens, including peanuts, nuts, dairy, eggs, gluten, and soy. Second, Free Bars taste great. I was talking to Luke, the man behind Free Bars, and the comments they get while sampling is always positive. Everyone loves how they taste. Three, they are full of healthy and whole ingredients, nothing artificial and no preservatives. Free Bars are made right here in Edmonton, and they are quickly popping up in stores around the city. Free Bars use a mixture of hemp hearts, honey, and gluten-free oats as their base. And then there are the three flavors: chocolate chip, mint chocolate chip, and the popular coconut. Free Bars' list of ingredients is short. Like in the coconut, there's just hemp hearts, honey, gluten-free oats, shredded coconut, and coconut oil. That's it. As school gets back into the swing of things and hockey season starts, parents and kids are bringing Free Bars to the rink as a healthy, delicious snack. Want to try? Listeners of this podcast will get 20% off with the promo code 2MUTS. That's one word, 2MUTS, and the discount will be applied at checkout. Learn more about Free Bars by visiting us at Strathcona's Farmers Market, Bountiful Farmers Market, and St. Albert Farmers Market, or online at freebars.ca. Want to pick it up at the store? Check out freebars.ca for a full list of our realtors. Don't forget the promo code 2MUTS and have arguably the best tasting energy bar today. That's Free Bars.
If it's done right the first time, you don't have to redo it. If you get Pete's Concrete to pour your driveway, you don't need a repeat. When your patio is a PDO, you don't need a repeat. When Pete's Concrete fixes your sidewalk, all it takes is once. You don't need a repeat. And if your basement leaks, a Pete's Repair helps avoid a repeat. Get it done right the first time with the colors and textures you want so you don't have to redo it. For concrete, you can choose Pete's or repeats. Pete's Concrete.
Mutz fans, what's going down? It's Bosco here. We like to welcome SeatGeek. They're back with us. They were with us a few years ago. They're back with us this year. Use the promo code 2MUTSPOD. That's 2MUTSPOD at checkout. You'll get $20 off your order. SeatGeek, you won't be disappointed. You're going to any hockey games, going to check out some NFL games, anything going on, some CFL games here in the playoffs as they get going, just check out SeatGeek. Use the promo code TwoMudsPod, all capitals. You'll get $20 off your purchase.